Today's shiur is Masechet Pesachim, Daf Ayin Daled, and we will begin at the beginning of the new perek. Our perek will discuss the preparation of the Korban Pesach. As we know, the Torah tells us, V'ochlu es ha-Pesach, b'layla hazeh, on the night of Pesach, the Korban Pesach must be eaten, tzli'esh, roasted. And our Mishnah will begin to discuss various halachas about the roasting of the Korban Pesach. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Tzoylin, how should the Korban Pesach be roasted? And as the Mefarshim explain, the Mishnah does not use the terminology Tzoylin as a Pesach, we roast the Korban Pesach. Rather, the Mishnah asks us, Ketzad Tzoylin, how is the Korban Pesach roasted? Since there are so many details involved in the roasting of the Korban Pesach, so the Mishnah asks us, how do we do it properly? Mevi'in shvud shorin, rimain. We bring a spit of pomegranate wood. And the Mefarshim stress the word mevi'in, to bring, rather than saying loichin. Mevi'in indicates that every year we should use a new spit of pomegranate wood for hidur mitzvah, to beautify the mitzvah. Every year we use a new wood. And it's put into the mouth of the animal ad base nekvasai, until its anus. V'noisenes krov v'sbnei me'ov l'taychai, and the legs and the other parts of the animal are put into the animal itself. Kivaymer divrei Rabbi Yosef Glili. Kivaymer k'min bishulze, this considered cooking, el toilin chutzaloi, rather the legs should be put outside of the animal. And there's a number of explanations in explaining the machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili. One pshat given by the Rajba is that the pasuk says regarding the roasting of the Korban Pesach, roishoi al krov val kirboi. And Rabbi Yosef Aglili considers al on al krov al kirboi, right on top. How could that be accomplished? By putting the krov and kirboi into the animal. However, Rabbi Kiva holds that al doesn't necessarily mean inside. Al could also mean next to, and therefore by putting the krov and the kirboi next to the Korban Pesach, that's enough. Another pshat given is that, as we have said, the Korban Pesach must be roasted. Says Rabbi Kiva, according to the Tosfos Rid, if you're going to take the animal, parts of the animal, and put it inside the animal, those parts will not be roasted through the fire, but rather will be roasted through the heat of the animal surrounding those parts. And since tzli'esh, every part of the Korban Pesach has to be roasted by the fire itself, it's unacceptable. Rabbi Yosef Aglili disagrees. And the basis for disagreement is that he says whenever you roast a piece of meat, there's the thicker part. If a piece of meat is thick, the part closer to the fire will get roasted before the part that's further from the fire. The thicker side, the part that's far further. But that's what roasting is all about. Part gets roasted quicker, part gets roasted slower. So too, says Rabbi Yosef Aglili, just because part of the animal is being put into the other part of the animal, makes no difference, it's all considered roasting. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, holds, of course, nobody would require you to slice pieces of meat to very thin strips to make sure that it all gets roasted at the exact same time. But here we're talking about two separate entities. And that's why, says Rabbi Kiva, it would not be considered a proper tzli'esh if one is put into the other. A third pshat is the pshat of Rabbi Baruch Tam. Rabbi Baruch Tam asks an interesting question. He says that when Rashi in Chumash, on the pasuk Roishav al Krov al Kirboi, tells us how that's done. Interestingly enough, Rashi says, like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that the krov and the kirboy were put into the animal. Ask the Mizrahi that we know that that the halacha generally is that when there's a machloek between Rabbi Kiva and another Tana, we paskin like Rabbi Kiva. Why over here does Rashi quote Rabbi Yosef Galili's pshat, not Rabbi Kiva's pshat? Says Rabbi Baruch Tam, because we had a machloekus earlier in the Masechta about sli keder, roasting in a pot. Is that considered sli or not? The Chachamim said that that too is considered sli. Rabbi Kiva held it was not considered sli. So that's pshat, he says. The reason Rabbi Kiva in our Mishnah says you can't put the krov and the kirboy into the animal, because that's called sli keder. And according to Rabbi Kiva, sli keder is unacceptable. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, however, holds like the Chachamim, that sli keder is acceptable. And since sli keder is acceptable, this is another form of sli keder. We paskin like the Chachamim, even if Rabbi Kiva argues on them. That's why Rashi and Chumash says pshat like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who's going according to the Chachamim. Continues the Mishnah, Ein tzaylan sapesach, lo yal ha-shvud v'lo yal ha-askala. The Karan Pesach should not be roasted, not over a metal spit or on a grill. On Rabbi Tzadik, Maaser Gamliel, there was a story with Rabbi Gamliel, Shamla Tavi Avdai, who told Tavi his servant, Tzei v'tzlei es ha-pesach al-askala. Go and roast the Karan Pesach on the grill, and the Gemara is going to ask, we just said you shouldn't use the grill. The Shulchan Aruch Rav makes an interesting observation. Rabbi Gamliel here is telling his servant to roast the Karan Pesach. Don't we know always the rule is mitzvah bar yosef v'shluchai? A person should preferably do the mitzvah himself and not rely on someone else. So, Rav Shulchan Aruch Rav says, and here we have an issue of preparing the Karan Pesach. And isn't hachana, the preparation of a mitzvah, also a mitzvah? Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav, preparation of food being a mitzvah is only l'kavod Shabbos. There the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch tell us that there's a special inyan to prepare, everybody should prepare themselves food for Shabbos. However, that doesn't apply to the Karban Pesach, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel could have asked his servant to prepare the Karban Pesach. Regarding the machloikas of Rabbi Yosef Galili and Rabbi Kiva, in which we learned that the meat was put in and the entire carbon had to be roasted whole, the Rambam says certainly that included the Gidah Nosha and that the Karban Pesach was roasted with the Gidah Nosha. The Raivit takes very strong objection to the Rambam, and he says that of course that the Gidah Nosha may not be eaten, and the Raivit says that if somebody gave me a Karban Pesach that had the Gidah Nosha roasted in it, I would throw that Karban Pesach in the floor. It's usher to be eaten. Begins the Gemara. V'nesi shel matchis. Why must a stick, a piece of wood, of a pomegranate wood be used? Why can't we use a metal spit? Answers the Gemara. I did the cham tzosoy, cham kuloy. Since by metal, if part of it is exposed to fire, the rest of it will become hot. So now, the kamach, kamatvi, so the Karban Pesach will be roasted machmas shvud because of the heat of the metal. Rechman amet sliyesh. The Torah told us that the Karban Pesach should be roasted by the fire, the light sli machmas davach, and not because of something else, not because of the heat of the metal. Ask the Gemara of a nice shadekel. So why can't we bring a palm wood spit? Answers the Gemara. Either the islay shivi, since palm wood has grooves, mafet maya, it secretes liquid. Rabim Kavushal, it'll be that the Karban Pesach is cooked, and we know the Karban Pesach must be roasted. Ask the Gemara of a nice shaltaini, why don't we bring fig wood? Answers the Gemara, either the mechalchel, mapik maya. Since fig wood is hollow and it's full of sap, it secretes liquid. Vavle Kavushal, again we have the concern that Karban Pesach will be cooked, not roasted. Ask the Gemara of a nice shaltaini, shalchor v'shukma, why can't we bring wood from an oak, a carob, or a sycamore tree? Answers the Gemara, either the isbe kitri, since they have knots which have to be cut off, mapik maya, they give off liquid. Ask the Gemara, shalrima nami isbe kitri, so the pomegranate wood also has these knots. Answers the Gemara, shi kitri, its knots are smooth and don't have to be cut off. Bibai seima, gavva bashata, the less be kitri. The Mishnah is talking about a piece of wood from a pomegranate which is less than a year old and doesn't yet have any nuts. And like the Sfas Emes explains, although the pomegranate tree doesn't have nuts when it's less than a year old, these other trees have nuts that have to be cut off even when they're less than a year old. Ask the Gemara, but even on the pomegranate wood, Ve'ikabe Paski, there's the area where the piece of wood has been removed from the tree, where it's been cut off, which will be secreting liquid. Answers the Gemara, the Mapik Lebe Paski Labar. That piece where it's cut off is left outside of the animal, and therefore no liquid goes into the animal through which the animal will be cooked versus roasted. The Farshim explain another reason why Chazal specifically wanted us to use pomegranate wood is that we know that Klal Yisrael are compared Karimon, like a pomegranate. The Meleim Mitzvahs Karimon, they're full of mitzvahs just like a pomegranate is full of seeds. So they explain as follows. We've been learning in the previous Staffim that the Torah tells us Kabanecha Layoichabai. Somebody who's distanced from Hashem is not allowed to eat the Karan Pesach. So people would start taking the approach, perhaps I'm not allowed to eat the Karan Pesach. Perhaps I'm a person, that's why the Chazal told us, take a rimon, which represents that afilu rekodim shebacha meleim mitzvois karimoin. Everybody should bring the Karan Pesach unless he's really distanced from us, from Torah mitzvahs. Says the Gemara, masnisin de like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not going to go according to what Rabbi Yehuda said. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Oima, k'shem sheshvut shel eitz ein nisrif, just like a wooden spit will not be burnt when it's put into an animal which is over a fire. Kach shvut shlamatzis einem asiach. So too does a metal spit not become hot, and therefore the animal will not become roasted because of the heat of the metal spit. Amrloi, and the Chacham told Rabbi Yehuda, Zeh, by a metal spit, Cham k'tzos cham kulay. We have a concept that a part of it becomes hot, all of it will give off heat, and that what's going to be causing the Karan Pesach to be cooked. But by wood, the heat is not conducted across the entire animal, entire piece of wood, and therefore there is no problem. The nice in the scrov, and we learned in the Mishnah, the machloikis of Rabbi Yosef Aglil and Rabbi Kiva, where the krov and kerbayim are put, are they put alongside the animal or inside the animal? Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Kareya Toch Toch. Rabbi Shmuel would call the Karban Pesach Toch Toch. So Rashi explains, Rabbi Shmuel held like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, that the krov and the kerboy are put inside the animal, and when something is put in something else and cooks, it makes this Toch Toch sound. The Tafim Kareya Gedima Kulis, or Tafim would call it a helmeted goat, because he held like Rabbi Kiva, where the parts were put outside the animal and it looked like an animal carrying or wearing armor. Tan Rabbanan. So we learned in a Braisa. Ezek di Mekulis, the Osel Lecho Belele Pesach Vizmanazer. What is considered a roasted or helmeted goat that may not be eaten nowadays on Pesach? So there are two approaches in the Rishonim how to explain this Gemara. One approach is that we learned Parak Mokum Shanagu, that there are minhagim, that in some places they eat roasted meat on Pesach by night, and some places they don't. And now, the question is, in the place, this is the way Rashi explains, in the place where roasted meat is not eaten, what is Gedima Kulis that may not be eaten? The Rambam, however, learns that even where there's a minhag that they do allow the eating of roasted meat on Pesach by night, a gedima kulis, a whole roasted goat, everybody will agree is prohibited, and therefore the Braisa wants to know what is a gedima kulis. The Mefarshim also ask, why does the Braisa say bezman hazeh? If there's an isser to eat roasted meat Pesach by night, what's the point of Bizman Hazeh nowadays? So there are two terutzim given. Actually, the two terutzim are diametrically opposed. The Tzlach answers that I would say that perhaps nowadays, even if there's a minig not to eat roasted meat, that minig should have applied when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. So since the Beis HaMikdash was standing, a person would realize that a person may confuse his roasted meat that's not Korban Pesach meat with his Korban Pesach meat, and therefore there would be a minig not to eat roasted meat. But nowadays there's no Korban Pesach, unfortunately, so there's no room for confusion. So perhaps nowadays roasted meat may be eaten. Tells us the Braisa Bizman Hazeh that only Bizman Hazeh, that even Bizman Hazeh, roasted meat may not be eaten. The Chasam Sofer takes another approach. His approach is that when the Beis HaMikdash stood, you were allowed to eat roasted meat on Korban Pesach by night. There was no concern that a person may believe that he's eating Korban Pesach meat because he had real Korban Pesach meat. It's only Bizman Hazeh, where we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, where we don't have the Korban Pesach, where if a person eats roasted meat, he may make a mistake and think that this is the real thing, that this is the Korban Pesach. So Bizman Hazeh you're not allowed to eat roasted meat, then roasted meat was permitted. So ask the Braisa, again, Ezek di Mekulis, the Osel Lechel B'Leila Pesach Bizman Hazeh, Kol Shetzolik Echad, any animal that is roasted in one piece, that's a Gdi Mekulis. Nechtech B'menu Eiver, but if a limb of it was cut off, Nishlak B'menu Eiver, or if a limb was boiled, Ezek Gdi Mekulis, that's already not Gdi Mekulis. Ask the Gemara on the Braisa, Hashtu Yeshloima. Let's understand. If Nechtech B'menu Eiver, one limb was cut off. Afterwards, the afal gav the kamat v'le badei. Then I'm going to roast that limb together with the rest of the animal. Amrit loy, we're still saying that that's already not considered gedim akolus, and that may be eaten. Nishlak miboy. So certainly, if you took off a limb and you cooked it, and then you roasted it, it certainly should be mutter. Answers the Gemara, of course. If that was the what Nishlak meant, there would be no need for the Braisa to tell us that did. Amar of Sheshis, what is the case discussed in the Braisa? Shesholka b'mechubar, that they first boiled one of the limbs while it was attached to the body of the animal. So we never separated a limb. And then we roast it. So I would think that at the end of the day, I'm roasting the entire animal and it should be considered a gdi mekulis. Teaches us the Braisa, since this one limb, although it was never detached, was first cooked, this is no longer considered a gdi mekulis. Our Gemara now begins to discuss Hilchus Dam. The halacha we know is that it's usur, it's prohibited to eat blood from an animal. The way blood is extracted is either through salting, a salting process, or through roasting. Roasting the meat over fire draws out the blood. Amar Rava, so teaches us Rava. Hai mal yosai, if you have an animal that is stuffed with raw meat, it's permitted to be eaten, and we say that the roasting drew out all of the blood from the inside piece. So certainly the Rishonim discuss that if, firstly, Rashi says that although we're extracting the blood through roasting, some salt should be applied to the meat. Tosfos disagrees, and he says that if roasting is used to extract the blood, no salt must be applied. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, how could you say that this is a permissible way of extracting the blood? The Kabbalah Dama, the blood that's in the inside piece gets absorbed in the outside piece. Amalei Kabbalah Kapote. Just like the outside piece will absorb the blood, so too it will discharge what it absorbs and will not remain with that blood. So Tosfos explains, certainly if both pieces of meat are raw and have never been salted or the blood been extracted, we will say Kabbalah Kachpaltai. And as Rashi says, since the outside piece of meat is torrid, is busy with expelling its own blood, it will certainly also expel the blood that it absorbs from the inside piece of meat. But says Tosfos, even in a situation where the inside piece of meat is raw, it has not had its blood extracted yet, and the outside piece of meat has already been had its blood extracted, we still will say Kabbalah Kapaltai. What Tosfos questions is, what about the other situation? If the outside piece of meat is raw, and the inside never had its blood extracted, and the inside blood piece did, will we still say this concept? Or perhaps then it will be Usur, and that actually is Machlokes Rishonim. Name Masalei. So says the Gemara, I'll bring you a proof from our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, Noisin es krov es b'nei meiv l'toichai. You put all of it inside. But don't we have a situation that the part that we're putting inside is still has dam? So how will that blood be extracted through it going the outside meat? If that's not acceptable way of extracting blood, how could we roast, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, the Karban Pesach that way? My Tama, why is this an acceptable method? Lamashon Amrin and Kabbalah Kach Potai. Amri, so they said, Shani Hassan, our Mishnah cannot serve as a proof, even the Ikabes Shechita, because since there's a large incision by the neck where the Shechita took place, Mischalkel, and it's hollow, made of Dayev, it gives room for the blood to flow out, and we don't have to say that the inside piece of meat lets its blood go out through the outside base of meat through the concept of Kabbalah Kachpolte. The Mefarshim ask, perhaps we could say that our Mishnah is speaking about a case where the meat that was put inside was already had its blood extracted, and therefore our Mishnah should not be a proof. So two answers are given. One answer given by the Chasam Sofer is that we explain that all of the meat is put inside. One of the cuts of meat from an animal is liver. Liver can only be roasted. That's the only way that blood from liver could be removed, because the Gemara says the liver is really one big piece of blood. So certainly the meat wasn't kashered previously. The Tzlach says that the Karban Pesach meat could not be salted the normal way of extracting blood, because, explains the Tzlach, Meliach Harei Kemevushel, salting is like cooking. So if I salted the Karban Pesach, I'd be considered like I cooked it, which we know is prohibited. So you can't say that the meat was already previously salted to remove the blood, and that's why the Gemara's attempt to bring a raya from the Mishnah is a legitimate attempt. So Gemara tries to bring a different proof. Name of Masailei, Halev, the heart. The proper way of extracting the blood from the heart is Karoi, is to open it up, or Maitzi Estamai, and extract all the blood from it before cooking it. Loi karoi, if somebody did not tear it open before cooking or before roasting it, karoi, you could cut it open lacha bishul after the roasting, or mutter, and it's mutter. My tama, why is it permitted? Why, during the cooking, the meat of the heart absorbed the blood that was inside the heart, and it should become usur. It must be the reason it's mutter. It's Kabbalah Kachpoltai. Because we say that just like it absorbed the blood while the cooking took place, it also discharged what it absorbed. It says the Gemara, you can't bring the proof from the heart, because Shani leave, the heart is different, the Shia, because it's a smooth piece of meat, and it does not absorb blood at all. Ask the Sfasemis, how could the Gemara attempt to bring a raya from the heart? The heart, we're saying, is only b'di'evid, that if you didn't cut it open beforehand, you could accept this b'di'evid. We're trying to say the l'chatchila, this is a legitimate way of removing blood. Answer the Sfasemis, that the heart has more blood than any other organ. And the Meiri explains that an animal, when it's slaughtered, gives out a yell. That yell draws blood, draws an extreme amount of blood into its heart, but usually the heart then pumps the blood back into the body. Here that the heart will now stop to work because the animal is dead, it remains with a lot of blood. So by the heart, the halacha is you should l'chatchila open it up, everywhere else it would be l'chatchil acceptable. Why? Because Kabbalah kach paltoi. And it says the Gemara, no, the heart is different because it's smooth. But the Rishonim point out that even if we say that the heart is smooth, certainly if somebody would cook heart meat with something non-kosher, we would say that there are blias, that there's blias from one piece of meat into the heart, and that heart meat would be also to be eaten. Tosfos in general says that the Gemara in a few lines will tell us that we do accept the concept of Kabbalah Kach Paltai, and therefore we don't necessarily have to say this concept that the heart is smooth. However, the Rishonim point out that this concept of an item being smooth, and because it's smooth, it's not absorbent, is valid in halacha. Because the halacha is that glass, we hold, does not absorb taste. It's not like other materials. And that's why people aren't machmer to have separate glasses for milchigs and fleishigs, because we hold that glass doesn't absorb. However, the Ramah says that we are machmer, that we do not kasher glass for Pesach. And the reason is because glass is smooth, as we just said now, and it doesn't absorb and expel. And the interesting question is, the same Ramah who tells us not to kasher glass for Pesach, and therefore not to use chametz digger glasses for Pesach, doesn't say this anywhere else regarding Basar B'Cholov or in any other area of halacha. So the Paiskim explain, because of the Chumrah of Pesach, because we're so strict, even with a mashu of chametz, that's why the Ramah is machmer by glass on Pesach, something that is not necessarily machmer for the rest of the year or in other areas of halacha. Ask the Gemara. V'ravin sava taflahi by gazel rav. Ravin breaded a dove for Rav and roasted it. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos is exactly what happened here. Rashi says that it was like a knish. There was a thing of dough around meat that didn't have the blood removed. Tosfos says it was more like a batter, more like a bread, like a breading. Vamale, and Rav told Ravin, if the breading is good tasting, havli ve'echel, give me and I'll eat it. So we see that Rav wasn't concerned that this breading absorbed blood, because it must be that he held Kabbalah Kach Paltai. Answers the Gemara, you can't prove from there anything, because Ahib Smida, that dove was covered with breading made of fine flour, the mafra which crumbles, and there's room for the blood to come out. Asked the Gemara, Rav Ikel Bei Reish Galusa, Rav once came to the home of Reish Galusa, V'tafle Bar Avza, and they breaded a young goose, Omar, and he said, Ilav de chazite de zug kezuzo chavra, had I not seen that the gravy absorbed in the bread was as clear as white glass, la'achimene, I wouldn't have eaten. Asked the Gemara, v'isal kedatech, if we're saying, kabbalah kach paltai, that whatever is absorbed by the breading is also expelled, ma'yiri kizog, what's the difference that the gravy has to be clear? Afil kaloi zog nami, even if it's not clear, we should assume that all the blood is extracted. And anything that's there is just some juice, but not blood. Answers the Gemara, Hosam b'chaver to the Shara, there was covered with breading made of white flour, which is firm and doesn't allow the blood to go out from it. Vilksa, and aloch is the smida, when the breading is made of fine flour, bein asmik, bein loy asmik, whether it turned red or did not turn red, shari, it's permitted, because we say that this fine flour lets the blood come out. The chaverta, when it's made of white flour, izi kizuza chivra, if it's as clear as clear glass, sharia, then we say that all the blood has obviously been discharged. Eloi, if you don't have that clear gravy, osir. Shakmachem, other flours. Asmik, if it's red, osir. If the breading turns red, we assume that the blood remained in the flour. Loi asmik, if it doesn't turn red, shari, it will be mutter. Hahu, says the Gemara, Hai Mal Yosef, going back to what we began the sugya with, the animal that was stuffed with meat that was, did not have the blood removed. Man the Asr, the one that says that we don't say Kabbalah Pach Paltai, Afilu Puma Lasachas, even if it's roasted with its opening facing downward, and we could say perhaps that all the blood will drain out through the opening, we won't say that. Or man the Shari, and the one that accepts the concept of Kabbalah Kach Paltai, Afilu Puma L'Eil, even if the opening is facing upwards, there is nowhere for the blood to drain, it'll still be mutter because of Kabbalah Kach Paltai. Vilchs, and that's the way we paskin. Milyai se shari, a roasted animal that's stuffed with raw meat is permitted. A filipim ale, even if its opening is facing upward, because we say Kabbalah Kach Paltai. As Taisus, that we learned at the bottom of Amud Aleph, that by Karban Pesach, it's certainly permitted, and we don't have, and we say that all the blood comes out because it has an opening. So we see that the fact that it does have an opening is a factor. Answers Taisus, that there by the Karban Pesach it has a very large incision. So there's certainly a lot of room through which the blood could drain out. That's why we're more makel. The Gemara here is talking that not such a large incision, so we can't rely on that for the drainage. So it's either we do say Kabbalah Kach Paltai, or we don't say Kabbalah Kach Paltai, and the Gemara says we do say Kabbalah Kach Paltai. The halacha is, as we continue speaking about Hilchas Dam, the halacha of blood, the halacha is that blood that was never moved from its original place is mutter to eat. So somewhere to eat a raw piece of meat that had in it blood, it would be mutter, because that is not considered the blood that the Torah says one may not eat. However, sometimes we'll have a piece of meat that it's obvious has blood that moved into it from other areas, which must be removed in order to be able to eat that piece of meat. Certainly roasting such a piece of meat will take out the blood, like roasting of it always does. Our Gemara will now discuss what other means are acceptable or are not acceptable on these types of meat. Umtso is a piece of raw meat in which blood has oozed. It has a deep red discoloration, which is an indication that a blood vessel burst into it and now has dam that wasn't there from the beginning. Or bayi are the testicles, and again, according to Rashi's explanation, have large deposits of blood. Umizriki are the major arteries of animals that, again, machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that we're discussing specifically the arteries of the neck, which have large deposits of blood. Other rishonim explain that we're talking about all arteries which are full of blood. Says the Gemara in introduction, B'chal tar kula, all over shas, Rav Acha l'chumra, Ravina l'kula. When you have a machloika between Rav Acha and Ravina, normally Rav Acha is the machma and Ravina is the meiko. Evehilchus ak Ravina l'kula. And we generally pass on like Ravina l'kula. Levar mahani tlas, except these three situations, the Rav Acha l'kula, Ravina l'chumra, Rav Acha is the meiko, and Ravina is the machma, Vehilchus ak Rav Acha l'kula, and we pass on like Rav Acha l'kula. The first case, Hai amtsu the osmit. A piece of meat that turned red because of blood that oozed out from a vein into it. Chatchei umalchei, if somebody cut it and salted it, filakader shari. Afterwards it may be cut because the salting will remove the blood. And like the Paiskim explained, although normally when using the salting process, there is no need to chatchei, to cut the meat, here cutting is required. Shaftei b'shfuda, if somebody roasted it on a spit, shari, it's certainly mutter. Because made of daif, all of the blood flows out because of the roasting. There's a machlokes harishonim, if when roasting, does it have to be cut or not? Rashi and the Beis Yosef learned that cutting is not required if we're relying on roasting. Roasting is a very powerful way of removal of blood, and cutting is not required. It seems that Tosfos and other Rishonim may learn that even by roasting, you should cut this type of a piece of meat. Achtei Gumri, if somebody puts it on hot coals, Pligba Rav Acha Ravina, the Machlokes Rav Acha Ravina. Chad Osser v'chad Shari, one says it's Osser, and one says it's Mutter. Man the Osser, the one that says it's Osser, because he holds mitzvah sons. The heat of the coal make this piece of meat shrivel, and it retains the blood. Man the Shari, Mishav Shari, he says that even the coals draw out the blood. For Hilchson, that's the way we pass in Mishav Shav, that even in this case, we assume that the blood has been drawn out. V'chein Beyer, the same with the testicles. Chetchinu melchinu, if they're cut and salted, I feel like they're shari and they can be cooked afterwards. Talinim b'shvuda, if they're suspended from a spit for roasting, shari and they're certainly mutter. Made of dye, because we say all the blood flows out. Achdinei agimri, if they were put on coals, pligibar ravacha ravina, we have a machlekes ravacha ravina, chad osu b'chad shari. Man osu says, mat mitzomis, the coals, that heat shrivels it up and it retains the blood. Or man, the shari mishav shav says that all the heat draws out the blood. The kei mizruki, the same thing regarding these arteries. Chatchi umalchi, if they're cut and salted, I feel like they're shari. They may be put into even cooking. Talia b'shpudei, if they're put over a fire, beis shchitul tatoi, and they position that the place where the slaughter was done, the incision on the neck is facing down, shari, then they're permitted to be eaten, made of doiv. Because again, we say the blood flows out through the incision and it's mutter. There's a machloikus if we're talking about eating the arteries themselves or speaking about a piece of meat that has in it the arteries. Achtei agumri, if they're put on coals, pligi rav acha ravina is machloikus rav acha ravina. Chad osu v'chad shari, one says it's osu, one says it's mutter. Man osu says matzmat somas is because the heat shrivels up and contains the blood. Or man the shari mishav shav, because the blood is drawn out. For hilchos mishav shav, the halacha is that the heat draws out the blood. Says the Gemara, hay umtsa de asmik. There was a piece of meat that turned red because blood from a vein oozed into it. Chalya asa, its graving was forbidden. Loy asmik, but if the gravy is not reddish, so Rashi has two explanations for this Gemara. First explanations that we said that we're talking about the gravy that comes out of this meat, and he says that if the gravy is reddish, the Gemara says if the gravy is reddish it's osur, if not it's mutter. Another pshat the Rashi says, chalya means vinegar, that means the piece of meat was roasted in coals and then it was put into vinegar. If the vinegar is reddish, the vinegar is forbidden for consumption, even though the meat itself is permitted. If not, the vinegar is permitted. Tosfos has a problem with both of these pshatim. He says, how can we have a situation that the meat itself will be permitted and the gravy or the vinegar are forbidden? If the roasting takes out all of the blood, so we should not be concerned with any red coloring in the gravy or the vinegar. The Sfas Emes, an explanation of Rashi, says that there may be a small amount of blood in the meat after it's roasted on the coals. So as long as this insignificant amount remains in the meat, it's bottled, it's nullified. However, when it trickles out and it's individual and separate, then it's considered blood and it's osur. But as we said, Tosfos objects to Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, and therefore Tosfos explains that this Gemara is talking here about a raw piece of meat. And as we said before, a raw piece of meat in which the blood does not move from one piece to the other piece inside that piece of blood is certainly permitted to be eaten. But sometimes they used to put raw meat into vinegar. So if the vinegar, if it's not in there a long time, then the halacha is that the meat, we don't assume that any of the blood moved around, and it's mutter to eat that piece of meat. But if this raw piece of meat remain in the vinegar so long that the vinegar became red. So now we have to be concerned that the blood came out of the piece of meat, came into the vinegar, and then went back into the piece of meat, and therefore both the vinegar and that piece of meat, according to Tosfos, would be also to be eaten.
Even if it did not turn red, it's chay also, the gravy or the vinegar are also to be eaten.
There must be some small streaks of blood left in there that are just not noticeable, but are there.
Our father, Amema, used to swallow this gravy or vinegar.
Ikad Amri, Rav Ashi Gufei, Migmal Gmui, he himself would swallow it and would not be concerned.